We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you. Welcome. Bill Michaels Show on the air on the beginning of Bill Michaels Radio. Joe across the way, reaching all of us on the network. Thanks to everybody listening, whether it's actually over the air on the network from the Minnesota borders all the way down to Chicago, Illinois, and the UP, and the big triangle, I guess is the best way you can put it. But we can't negate our people out in Dubuque, Iowa that are listening on our great station PVL out in Platteville. Can't discriminate against them either. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648, on the LonesByKip.com toll-free talk line. Browns sitting over right now, and Excedrin is jumping in on a parade. You've got fans that have been there for quite some time wanting to throw parades for the, quote, perfect season 2.0, which is a season of being defeated rather than undefeated. And just a lot of things happening right now around this Cleveland Browns team. They have fired their vice president. And to break it all down and make some sense out of this whole mess that is the Cleveland Browns, Daryl Ryder, he is the Browns reporter for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Daryl, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Bill, I've given up trying to make sense of the Cleveland Browns. That's going to be my New Year's resolution for 2018.
Now, I've got to tell you, I'm going to give you the here's the disclosure here. I grew up in Cincinnati, where I learned early on if it was brown, flush it down, and that's what my dad always screamed at me. I am to the point now as a guy. Now, I grew up on Bart Starr and Packer football and Ken Anderson and Bengals football, and I remember Sam Ritigliano and Sipe and all that stuff from years gone by. But I got to tell you, I was saying this the other day. I feel bad if I'm part of that. I feel bad for Cleveland Browns fans. They have been screwed royally in this deal. This is a train wreck. So how does this thing even begin to get back on the rails?
That's a great question. I guess it starts with hiring the right people to begin with. Now, you mentioned Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Sasha Brown. He has been fired. That happened this morning around 10:30. So the search is going to go commence immediately for the next football guy to come in here and run this thing. Browns owner Jimmy Haslam saying he wants somebody with experience. I immediately said you probably should have went that route when you began to rebuild and tear down a year and a half, 2 years ago after you fired Roy Farmer and Mike Pettine. Instead, you promoted a lawyer to take over your football operation. So you saw this ending any differently? How? So, also Hugh Jackson apparently is going to be back next year. I will also say that Hugh Jackson shares a tremendous amount of blame for the NFL record worst 1-27 mark. He has a lot of this mess on his very own hands, but it appears he is, for some reason, going to survive.
You look at a guy like Mike Zimmer, Jay Gruden. Both of those guys came out of Marvin Lewis's coaching, tree, so to speak, as those guys were pretty successful in Cincinnati. What has made Hugh Jackson culpable in this train wreck?
Well, you watch the team on Sunday. I mean, game management, the way he's handled this on Kaiser, he's culpable in some of the decisions that have been made at quarterback, both in the draft as well as in the offseason acquisitions. Now, granted, there have also been some guys at that position that he has wanted that the front office did not deliver for him, but he's not blameless and he is not the victim here. I think that some are trying to paint you as the ultimate victim here, and that is not the case. He shows a tremendous amount of blame. Again, clock management, the way he handles some of the young players, especially Deshaun Kizer, yo-yoing him in and out of the lineup early after saying one minute you support him, you're going to ride him through the highs and the lows, and the next minute you're benching him because he throws a couple of interceptions. So it's and the other thing too is when they hire the GM, you're basically putting together yet another shotgun marriage because you're saying, yeah, here's your picks that you have, which there's a ton of them. Here's a ton of salary caps. So by the way, Hugh Jackson's your coach, when do you like him or not? It's just this is what this ownership group has done from day one. They go with these shotgun marriages, and they never work out.
Do they have talent on that team?
Yeah, they do. I think that what doomed Sacha Brown was the Carson Wentz trade. And then the final nail in his coffin was the failure and the embarrassment that followed from executing the trade for AJ McCarron, which clearly showed that ownership was in Hugh Jackson's corner. And for whatever reason, the Browns weren't able to get their paperwork into the league office in time to consummate that deal before the trade deadline. But when you look at this roster right now, Bill, I mean, you got Myles Garrett, who has battled injuries in his rookie season, but he has shown a lot of promise. He leads the team in sacks with 5, and he's only played in 6 games. Tight end David Njoku, a very raw rookie out of Miami that they traded up for in the back end of the first round of the draft. He's got 4 touchdowns. That's a franchise record for a rookie tight end. He's shown his ability to make some plays. The jury, I think, is still out on last year's first-round pick, Corey Coleman. He's broken his hand a couple of times. That has set him back. But when he's been on the field, he has, you know, shown some flash and some, you know, some promise. I think the biggest problem for the Browns is they don't have enough talent to compete at this level, and that's why they are where they are.
Yeah, there's only really a couple of guys on this team that are making any kind of money. If I'm not mistaken, it's Joe Thomas and what's the other one, the other kind, Jamie Collins, right? Jamie Collins is making dead cap money. I think he's got a boatload of money coming to him.
Yeah, there's a lot of dead cap. You know, Kenny Britt was a bad signing this offseason. He has been a problem child on the field from a production standpoint. In my opinion, he's not been a very good influence in the locker room. You're looking for good quality veteran presence. Kenny Britt is not it. Again, notch in the good column. They brought in Kevin Zeitler, the guard from Cincinnati, as well as J.C. Treader, whom you're familiar with,
right,
up there in Green Bay. They signed him this offseason to be their center. Unfortunately, Joe Thomas got hurt this year. They got a young kid, Spencer Drango, filling in for him. Sean Coleman is the young right tackle that they have. So the tackle position that Joe Thomas is out, it's a little weak. But overall, you know, they did address the offensive line, and you know, a notch against Hugh Jackson. They wanted to run the ball this year. You know, that's all we heard about all offseason. Young quarterbacks, inexperienced in the position, so we're going to lean on our running game. And if you look what the Cleveland Browns have done this year, they've done everything but lean on their running game. They've got a dynamic player in Duke Johnson. They still don't know how to use him properly. Isaiah Crowell, who could be, I think it's a restricted free agent next year. Inconsistently using him. So to me, those are a couple more strikes against Hugh Jackson. But it is the youngest football team in the league, and they certainly look like it every Sunday.
Darrell Ryder, the Browns reporter for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, chatting with us on the line, giving us a breakdown of the Cleveland Browns, the next opponent for the Green Bay Packers. Talk to us about the rookie. Their first pick was Jabril Peppers this year, playing safety. And how has he looked?
The problem with Jabril is that they keep playing him 30 yards away from the line of scrimmage. Now, the reason that defensive coordinator Greg Williams says they're doing that is to protect against a big play. Well, they're not presenting a whole lot of big plays. That's just me. When he was at Michigan, he played in the box. He made plays. Here, he's not playing in the box, and so he's not making a lot of impactful plays. He didn't practice again today. He's got an injury he's kind of trying to work through and deal with here. His status for Sunday is unclear, but I see him as a potential playmaker when you look at the overall picture. And again, that's a positive check mark in, you know, Sashi Brown's column and the work that he was able to do in his brief stint. So I like Jabril Peppers a lot. I loved him at Michigan. I think he has the opportunity to be a dynamic playmaker. Once again, though, if the coaching staff uses him properly.
How has Greg Williams' defense? I mean, his defense is pretty good. I mean, it's not a pushover. I really thought they'd be better offensively when they secured the offensive line. I agree with you, injuries have decimated them, but I really thought they'd be better offensively. But how has this defense been able to? Because the defense is, put them in some pretty good positions throughout the season. Now, granted, they've given up some big plays, but that side of the football is maybe a player or two away from being much, much better, where they're not the train wreck that the team appears to be.
Yeah, and they've lost some players, too. They've lost Jamie Collins for the season. He just had, we found out, MCL surgery. He tore his MCL, so he just had surgery. And his season's done. Emmanuel Ogba, very promising young defensive end. Another one of Sashi Brown's draft picks a year ago. It was a fantastic bookend with Miles Garrett. I think he had 4 sacks this season. He is done for the season as well. So they've sustained some injuries on that side of the football. And the problem for Greg Williams unit right now is the red zone defense. It's the worst in the National Football League. Basically, if the Packers get to the 20 on Sunday, they're guaranteed points. The Browns they don't get stops inside the 20-yard line. They don't force turnovers. They don't get, 4-down stops. It hasn't happened a lot this year. So if you get to the 20, you're coming away with a minimum of 3 points, but most likely you are going to come away with 7. And again, that's a big reason why this team can't win because, in spurts, the defense has played well. Their run defense is very much improved. They are getting more pressure on the quarterback. So you can break it down from an analytical standpoint and say, yes, the Browns on that side of the football are a lot closer than they are on the offensive side. Bottom line, though, the only stat that matters is the scoreboard, and the Browns give up a ton of points.
Real quick before I let you go, I did start out by talking about this whole parade thing. And how are the fans taking this? Are they just looking at something to grasp onto, or how are they looking at all of this?
Yeah, it's pretty miserable for Browns fans here in Cleveland. It's been like this for 19 years. 88 wins, 212 losses since 1999. Since the Haslams have taken over, it's been a complete unmitigated disaster. Since 2012, they've won 19 football games since October of 2012. The winless season parade, the perfect season parade, whatever they're calling it, that's just this, their way of their coping mechanism, if you will, if we can't have a Super Bowl parade in Cleveland, which we've never had, we might as well have one to honor their inability to win a game. I've been making the joke that if the Browns actually win a game this season, they ought to have a parade for that, because that would be an accomplishment. But, the Browns fan is using snark and sarcasm to cope with what has become the worst franchise in the league.
Man, I wish you the best of luck, because at this point, I kind of feel sorry for what's going on in Cleveland. I really, really do, man. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, there are fans that wish that we had the Packers arrangement here in Cleveland, where the fans actually owned the team, because from day one, when the franchise came back as an expansion team, the NFL put them behind the eight ball, and the league has dipped their nose in a couple of times to try and help out. John Collins in the mid-2000s came in here. That was a disaster from the league. They helped hook Haslam up with Joe Banner. That only lasted a year. So when the league has tried to stick their nose in and try and help things along, hasn't helped either. So the NFL not doing Cleveland any favors since this team's come back.
Good stuff, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
My pleasure. Thanks, Ron.
Thanks, Daryl. Talk to you soon. Daryl Ryder, he is the Browns reporter for 92.3 FM, The Fan in Cleveland, giving us the breakdown on the Browns. Makes you feel a little bit good about the Packers matchup with the Browns coming up this weekend. But I don't take anything for granted. You got to get a win. I mean, that's the number one focus. It doesn't matter if we all pick the Packers to win, and especially since the fact that, Brett Hundley has played better on the road than he has at home, so I'm going to say Brett Hundley's going to have a better game, but I think you still kind of hold your breath going into this one until the lead and the win is secure. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by Quick Trip, top-tier alternative fuels, no fee ATMs. As a matter of fact, they bought a lot of the PDQs throughout the rest of the state of Wisconsin. And I went into one of the PDQs this morning, which is right by my house, just to see, because I see some of the signs that are out front that say Quick Trip. And sure enough, there's the Quickery bakery goods. There is the coffee. There is everything that is Quick Trip. It just hasn't changed the facade outside yet. But looking, because it's like 300 yards from my house. I can crawl home from there. I was fired up. Stop in and see our friends at Quick Trip. When we come back, so did the Browns, did they who they lose to by how much during this winless season, because they're a little bit better team, I think, than you think they are. Stick around. More of the Michael Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Peace up. A-Town.
Welcome back. The Michael Show is on the air. Hopefully you're having a terrific day today. I'm Bill Michaels. If you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, you can do so at Bill underscore Michaels, at Bill underscore Michaels. Follow us there. Follow us there. And also at Radio Joe Sports. Go over on the Facebook fan page. So many people have been chiming in over there. It's been great. I try to keep up with it. I really, really do. So some of you get mad if I don't get right back to you. Look, I try to keep up with everything, but over on the Facebook fan page is simply facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow, or just look for Bill Michaels in the blue check mark and follow us there. Shout out, by the way, UW Oshkosh hosting Mount Union in the D3 semis for a trip to the Amos Alonzo Stag Bowl. Congratulations to Oshkosh that keeps winning in D3. We do a piece every week with UW Whitewater's head coach, Kevin Bullis. And he has told us about, you know, obviously what Wisconsin, the WEAC, has going on. We've talked about it all season long. So congratulations to UW Oshkosh and the Titans for getting ready to go up against a team that has been much like Whitewater for a long, long time. They have been one of the powers in D3, and that is Mount Union. So good luck to them.
It'll be in the semifinals.
Right. Right. It's for a chance to go to the Amos Alonzo Stag Bowl.
Correct.
The Browns, if you look at the Browns' schedule going into this ball game, when you start to go through it, they lost by a field goal to Pittsburgh to start their season off in Cleveland. They went on the road and got beat by 14. They got beat by Baltimore. They lost by a field goal in Indianapolis. Cincinnati drilled them. Cincinnati got them in Cleveland 31-7. That was an awful game. They lost by a field goal to the Jets. They got drilled by Houston. They lost 12-9 by a field goal again to the Tennessee Titans. Minnesota got them pretty good, 33-16. They ended up losing to Detroit, 38-24. Jacksonville beat them, 19-7. Cincinnati got them again in Cincinnati just a couple of weeks ago, 30-16. And then the Chargers came in and got, or no, they went on the road and took on the Chargers and lost 19-10. It's not like they're getting blown out every week. They have a few blowouts to their name, but it's not like they're getting just drilled week in and week out. They've got some talent. Their defense is, like we heard, is not bad, but if you get inside the red zone, I mean, their defense has been horrendous. But they've got some speed. They've got some decent defenders. It's offensively, they've lost a lot of their offensive line. The quarterback situation is not very good. And as you heard just a little while ago, Daryl Reuter from the Fan over in Cleveland had just said to us that the run game has been just erratic. They haven't really decided on one guy. They've tried to run the rookie out there who's looked good, and just when he starts getting his feet under him, to pull him out. And so it's been banging your head against the wall if you're a Browns fan. You just can't figure this team out in the direction they're going, and so we'll have to wait and see. But when you start to go through their schedule and you look, okay, who did they play? What talented team? It's been funny, though, because when you take Pittsburgh almost got beat by Indianapolis. They got beat by the Bears. They have struggled at times this season. So as much as I want to say, man, they went toe-to-toe with the Pittsburgh Steelers opening day, all that kind of stuff, and you look at what Pittsburgh's been able to accomplish, Pittsburgh has struggled. They won by that field goal over Cleveland. Now, they did beat Minnesota quite handily in Pittsburgh. They got beat quite handily by Chicago. They beat up on Baltimore. Then they got drilled by Jacksonville. They barely beat Kansas City in Kansas City. They beat Cincinnati handily twice now. They ended up beating Detroit, but that was a close game right to the very end. They had to come back late in the ball game and win on a last-second field goal, if I'm not mistaken, in Indianapolis. They drilled Tennessee. They just barely beat the Green Bay Packers, and they struggled with Cincinnati in Cincinnati, 23-20. They came back in that game with I think it was like 10 minutes to go in the ballgame. They were down 10, and they came back and won that ballgame. So Pittsburgh has had their struggles this season as well. Now, obviously, the record's very good, and you learn how to win. But when you know, people say, well, you know, it's Pittsburgh, and they probably took Cleveland lightly. No, Pittsburgh struggled with a lot of teams this year. Struggled with a lot of teams. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. Santa's Reindeer says via email in the Wendy's email inbox, the Cleveland Browns are awful. There is no way for the Green Bay Packers to lose them, but I am hoping the Packers lose. It is time to clean house. This loss would put the signature stamp on the season, and that would then get rid of Mike McCarthy, Ted Thompson, and Dom Capers. Let me say this, Santa's Reindeer. I don't think so. Even if they would lose this ballgame, I don't think there's going to be wholesale firings. It's not going to happen. I would be surprised, to be honest with you. This one's from Troy. Says, looking forward to this game. I would air it out if I'm Mike McCarthy. I would allow Brett Hundley to do his thing, a little more of the read option, and see how good the defense actually is against a poor offense. They've usually played well. They've gotten a few sacks, and they pin their ears back, as Dom Capers likes to say. I pick the Packers to get a 33-17 win. I don't pick it to be that. I pick the Packers to win. But if I'm going to be, if I'm a Packers fan, I'm saying 24-13. 24, 14, 17, something like that. But I don't think it's going to be this blowout victory. I would pick it a little bit closer than that. Remember, with Brett Hundley, the Packers haven't been able to score that many points. So I don't know what makes you think against a pretty decent defense in Cleveland, not great by any stretch, maybe not even above average, but a decent defense in Cleveland, that they're all of a sudden going to run out there and put up 40. That's not going to happen. Not going to happen. 855-830-8648. You know what we'll do is the co-host of the Morning Locker Room on Sports Talk 105.1 in Eau Claire, Dan Casper. He's going to join us. We'll get his perspective on this when we come back. Stick around. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael Show on the air. Glad to have you. Packers need this one this coming weekend against Cleveland if they have any shot at getting into the postseason. And a real reason for Aaron Rodgers to come back. Maybe take them on a magical run if they should go on a run and make it to Minneapolis, St. Paul. They're going to be joining yours truly and our cast up there. We're going to be broadcasting live from Radio Row in Minneapolis. Coming up, as we get you ready for Super Bowl LII and our participation there, brought to you by our friends at Brager Chevy and Brager Ford, the official vehicle for the Bill Michaels Show, live from Radio Row in Minneapolis. Over 200 Silverados on the lot right now. They're dealing to be the best in Wisconsin. And don't forget to see my buddy Glenn over there. They have some great stocking stuffers, gift cards, especially if you like a clean car. They do a lot of detailing over there. Give that to somebody for Christmas. Also, our friends at Stenny's, Milwaukee's number one sports bar, shuttled all the games, including shuttle buses, two Packers games. Great packages still available if you want to go see Minnesota as well. Check out our friends from Stenny's. Joining us now from Eau Claire and the co-host of the Morning Locker Room on Sports Talk 105.1, Dan Casper, now joining us. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Bill. I'm a little cold, though. We're doing our toy drive here for Festival of Toys.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So you guys are involved in it. Now, we did the big one down here with our flagship station last week, and you guys are, where are you exactly?
Well, I'm outside Festival Foods, one of the new Festival Foods locations here on Birch Street in Eau Claire. So we're collecting toys, donations, all goes towards the Family Promise of the Chippewa Valley here.
Perfect. And how has it been? How has traffic been throughout the day?
It's been awesome, Bill. It's been awesome. We have some volunteers here that are helping us out, and they said this is the best they've seen in a couple of years here, too. So great turnout so far on day one here for everybody in the Chippewa Valley, helping out a bunch of families in need, and especially those kids. I mean, you know, you guys did your drive last week, Bill, your story. It was awesome. It's like that all around here, and everybody, we need to help out these kids and these families, make every yep. kid have a memorable Christmas.
No doubt about it. Now, are you guys there all week?
We started today, and we're here tomorrow again, too.
Okay. Wasn't sure if you guys were out there the entire week or not, but that's great. Hopefully everybody in the Chippewa Valley area and even in the surrounding areas beyond that that are listening to the program get a chance to come down and drop off some toys or cash, monetary donation. You'll take it, no doubt. Dan, we were sitting here talking about how meaningful this game is, and Joe and I both agree. I mean, first of all, you got to win this. But after that, I mean, the big game is going to be coming up against Carolina. If you beat Carolina, you have a really legitimate shot at then advancing from there, because I think both of the games after that are probably gettable. So give me your thoughts on this team going forward and the likelihood that Aaron Rodgers, in your opinion, should or should not come back.
I think you got to take it week by week, and a big game is this weekend against Cleveland. If Green Bay somehow loses this game, and I'm not even 100% confident that Green Bay can go into Cleveland and get a victory, but a lot rides on this game. And Mike McCarthy talks about getting to 10 wins. I don't know if this year, if 10 wins will even do that, but they got to start off this weekend against Cleveland. Take care of business, and then I think we have the discussion of Aaron Rodgers coming back. So if they can get this victory against Cleveland, get to 7-6, number 12 special, man. I mean, when you have number 12 on the field, and from reports he's chucking the ball all over the place, anything can happen going into Carolina, potentially a team that's going to be fighting for a playoff spot too. That's going to be a tough matchup. They're playing really good defense over there in Cleveland too. Carolina. Take care of business this weekend. Make sure you come away with a victory in Cleveland. And then let's get a little bit excited and look forward to maybe a potential playoff push.
The likelihood that the Packers, if Aaron Rodgers comes back, win out?
Ooh, that's a good question. That Carolina game, I think, is key. I think that Carolina game is key. I know Minnesota's playing extremely well. That defense is legit. They're coming back to Lambeau. You got to want, it's a rivalry game. Green Bay, of course, they're going to want it, but, that there's going to be some emotions in that game because, Aaron went out, with his injury against Minnesota that game. So that's a tough task. I don't know if they can do it. If you're asking me to put a percentage on it, Bill, I'm going to go 65-70%.
Then you look at the defense, they play a little bit better in the last couple of weeks. Now, granted, a couple of weeks ago, they weren't necessarily great. But this defense, really since Chicago, has played better as far as giving up points. It's been less. Do you think this is starting to come around now that they're getting a little bit healthy? Or obviously with Kevin King going down and going on the IR in the secondary, it's still going to be extremely susceptible?
Yeah, that Kevin King loss is huge. And not even with Kevin King, you looked at the injury report from yesterday. Devon House mm-hmm. had a shoulder injury. Even Dimitri Goodson, who they activated off the PUP list. He had a hamstring injury on that injury report. So the secondary is kind of reminiscent of last year a little bit with that secondary, isn't it? I mean, mm-hmm. you had Ladarius Gunter starting games and that. So they're taking a beating. Yeah, the defense has been playing better in spurts. I think a lot would help out with that defense, too, if the offense would just, a little bit better at time of possession. These last few weeks, that defense has been on the field a lot. I mean, a lot of minutes. And you can kind of tell that games are getting a little bit drained out. But, the defense has been playing better, but losing Kevin King, that's going to be huge, huge for the secondary.
If by chance, God forbid, they lose this game, is this a signature game in which you would say serious changes need to be made, or do you think that changes are going to be made anyway, minus Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy?
I think there will be changes made within this game. I mean, if Green Bay loses this game, I don't know if I want to come in Monday morning, Bill, and take some of his phone calls. I mean, that is going to be headhunting. On Monday morning. So I think from a fan's point of view, they're going to want drastic changes if the Packers lose this game on Sunday. Green Bay, we know they're not going to – Mark Murphy, Ted Thompson, they're not guys that are going to make drastic changes. They're not going to overreact. I think that you'll see some changes regardless of what happens with this game. Maybe it's a different defensive coordinator in the future. I don't know. But I think if there was going to be changes – they kind of have an idea of what it's going to be right before this game.
I was going to say, my assumption, if there are going to be any changes, most likely, you've already made some decisions based upon that, not with just the four remaining games. But it is so tough to say you're going to make drastic changes because you're so late in the career of Aaron Rodgers. However, you can also say, if I'm going to make changes, I'm doing it because we need a fast fix that is going to take us in an energized direction because we want to make sure that this thing gets a couple more shots at a Super Bowl before it's all said and done. I don't see Mike McCarthy going anywhere. I know that I'm listening to a lot of national shows and they're saying, well, a guy that could be on the hot seat, you know, proving he can't win without those guys would be Mike McCarthy. I think Mike McCarthy, for say what you want about Brett Hundley, but the game against Baltimore, he looked terrible. Other than that, we've seen progression, and we've seen some better, more creative play calling. Last week wasn't great for Brett Hundley, and he missed some passes. But for the most part, at least we've seen him progress. But I just think he is what he is.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's a backup quarterback. You know, any talk that Green Bay could have traded him for maybe a higher draft pick to a team that's looking for a starting quarterback, I think that discussion's out the window. I mean, you go back to the draft, there was that rumor that Green Bay was close to trading Brett Hundley, and then there was that wild rumor that Green Bay was interested in drafting DeShone Kizer. Well, I guess they'll get a firsthand glimpse of DeShone Kizer this weekend, and that would be something if DeShone Kizer lights up that defense.
Right, no doubt about it. Offensively speaking, do you believe the Packers have legitimately found a run game for when Aaron Rodgers comes back?
That's an interesting thing. We were talking about that a couple days ago. It seems like we've been talking about this like the last few years. You go back to Eddie Lacy, rookie of the year. Green Bay's finally got that running game, and then kind of trailed off there. You go back to even Super Bowl 45, James Starks. They don't win that Super Bowl without James Starks, but then he kind of never really developed into that number one style running back. And then last year, Ty Montgomery, we all thought, okay, finally, Green Bay's got that running attack. Well, injuries slowed down his progression. So, I mean, it looks the part so far, but I think we got to keep telling ourselves these are rookies, you know, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. They look the part. They have different styles of running. Williams is more of the bruising type but running back. Jones, the big play threat. So it looks like it. It's interesting because, you know, next offseason or this upcoming offseason, Green Bay is going to have to make some choices with the receivers. You know, Devontae's going to get a big contract. Jordy Nelson's got 1 year left. Randall Cobb's got 1 year left. Does the emergence of these two running backs kind of make it maybe a little bit easier for the Packers front office to make some of those decisions with the right wide receivers? Because Green Bay is, you know, well known to bring in a bunch of wide receivers and help out Aaron Rodgers. But if Green Bay's got two running backs, does it make those decisions a little bit easier what to do with the offense?
Hey, real quick before I let you go, and I enjoy talking Packers football, but I wanted to find out because the last time I was there, there were some people that were genuinely interested in what the Bucs had going on and talking about Giannis and company. Has Giannis's rise given to more discussion in that valley there?
Yeah, definitely. More people are paying more attention to the Bucs, especially with Giannis. The whole Eric Bledsoe trade kind of got everybody a little bit excited. Now the rumors with DeAndre Jordan. So it's a little bit of a buzz. I think it'll pick up a lot more, though, when football season's over with. You know, football's king, Badgers, and the Packers right now. So it has peaked a little bit more here and there, especially the way Giannis started out the season. You know, MVP talk and all that sort of stuff. I think it'll really hit its peak as soon as football season's over with.
Yeah, he's still on his way. I still think that he can pull this thing off. This team has to get to the top four, but you get Jabari back and get him a little help. I think there's going to be a lot more recognition for this team down the stretch when it counts. Dan, always a pleasure. Great. Now, tell everybody where you're at again and how long you're going to be there, and you're going to be there today and tomorrow for sure.
Yeah, we're at Festival Foods, one of the new Festival Foods here in Eau Claire on Birch Street. We're doing our festival of toys here, all the toys and monetary donations going to the Family Promise of the Chippewa Valley. We're here until 5 o'clock tonight, and then bright and early again tomorrow morning, right at 6 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock tomorrow as well. We have some auction items on our website, sportstalk1051.com. Bill, there's an autographed football. Last time when you were up here, you were gracious enough to sign one for us.
Yeah, how about that, huh? I devalued the hell out of that football.
I think we got a couple bids on there too, though. So, but thank you for doing that for us and helping us raise some money for all these kids in this area.
No, it's my pleasure. And if everybody can get out there and support those guys, that'd be. Hey, I got to ask you real quick: are you in a tent or are you just outside in the elements, man? Because if you're in the elements, even more kudos to you.
I'm in the elements right now. I'm walking around the parking lot, but we do have an RV here if we want to warm up a little bit.
Okay.
But right now I'm outside.
The RVs come in handy this time of year. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, absolutely.
God, I know. Dan, always a pleasure, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
See you, pal.
It.
There you go. Dan Casper and the whole crew at this Festival Foods on Birch Street. And he's serious. If you're in the Chippewa Valley and you can get over there and help out, please do so. Take a couple of minutes today, lunch hour, after you get off work this afternoon, tomorrow in the morning before you head to work. If you're in that area, head on over to Birch Street and the Festival of Foods there and say hi to Dan and the whole crew. They do a great job out there. They really, really do. I get a chance to listen to them every now and then when I'm out cruising around. So say hi to them. This portion of the program was brought to you by our terrific, terrific friends over at Cousin Subs, where they encourage you. One game left. Get your name in. best seats in the house. All you have to do is go to Packers.com/best seats, Packers.com/best seats, and you could be heading to see a Green Bay Packers game. Kicking your feet up, taking it easy, 50-yard line, plush leather recliners, maybe a Cousin Sub in your hand as you're doing a little tailgating with some Cousin Subs, which is a great way to go. That is Cousin Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Let the good times roll, and I want these words to make things right, but it's the wrongs that make the words come to life. But who does he think he is? If that's the worst you got, better put your fingers back to the key. One night, one more time, thanks for the memories.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. On the air, we are glad to have you. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day. Fantastic day today. Bucks don't play tonight. They play tomorrow, where they're going to be taking on the Dallas Mavericks. Last night, nice spread last night. Giannis with 25, 21 from Chris Middleton, 22 from Bledsoe. You had 21 off the bench between Brogdon and Vaughn. As we had mentioned before, Vaughn getting a little more playing time and making the most. As a matter of fact, he was, when you talk about the plus-minus impact for the team, he had the most last night as far as positive impact. He was a plus 18 on the rating scale. So Rashad Vaughn getting some quality minutes, and it's paying off. For the minutes that he's playing, it's been paying off overall. But Malcolm Brogdon last night, 10 points, Vaughn 11. To go with that, by the way, Malcolm Brogdon plus two. Last night, Bledsoe was a minus 10. When you talk about defensive prowess last night, while Giannis was a plus 4. The only guy that was higher was Thon Maker, a plus 5. Had a rebound, had an assist, had 4 fouls in the night, a couple of turnovers. But in 23 minutes, only 0-for-2, did not put up a point, but had a little bit better defense. So
Vaughn was a plus 18.
Vaughn? Mm-hmm. Right. That's what I said. He was a plus 18. Thon Maker was a plus 5 last night. And Giannis was a plus 4. But Rashad Vaughn had the best plus-minus ratio last night for the Milwaukee Bucks. So there you have it. By the way, the stats are brought to you by our friends at UpRoyo. Check them out on the web at APPROYO.com. APPROYO.com. They're taking SAP and big data solutions to your company, implementing them, and then putting all that information together, deciphering it, giving back to your company so you can figure out the best course of action for you to take. That is AppRoyo, again, on the web, APPROYO.com. Talking to Bucks basketball, Mark is in Huntsville, Alabama. Mark, welcome to the program. How you doing, man? Thanks for holding for such a long period of time.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Doing well today, man. What's
Marco.
Up? Yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. What's going on, man?
It's Marco from
sure.
the outside.
It's been a while.
It's definitely been a while. I guess, you know, the reason why I haven't really, people in WSSP land haven't heard from me in a while, it's just because I've just been sitting back and just, like, critically looking at things, looking how the season's going. You know, I'm excited. I'm going to come home. I'm going to see the Bucks versus the Bulls on December 26th. You know, I'm always about the Bucks-Bulls series, as you know.
Yeah.
But long story short, you know, I saw some things in the national media that were, you know, pretty concerning to me, considering the fact that, the involvement of keeping this team here and the whole Save Our Bucks movement and the billboard and everything. I don't understand why the media is keeping, you know, the whole Lazary issue very coy. I mean, he's a defendant, you know, which doesn't mean that he's a plaintiff. And, you know, the whole Lazary Eden's Dining is a consortium, which means that in between all of them, they've agreed so that they couldn't own the team solely, so they need each other. And I know that this hashes old wounds, but, you know, and then seeing in the national media once again, you know, that they've cut corners on either the arena or services involved. I mean, I just don't understand, you know, how the media can be so coy, you know, about this. I mean, the building.
Well, this thing, because he was the director from mid 2016 through October of 2017, taking over for James Dolan, who is the owner of the New York Knicks, And he was there from mid-2015 to June 2016 when Lazary eventually took over. What the assumption is that he was just there at that particular time and got out.
I know that I haven't, I'm not familiar with, all of the hoopla that's going on in Wisconsin quite yet because I haven't crossed state lines. But, when you know that you have family here and how it was such a mixed bag, as it pertains to the mixed emotions due to the economic impact of the Bucks staying here, that, anything like this, any, reprehensible behavior, would be a concern for any Bucks fan.
Right. No, I get it. And Marco, I got to run here, top of the hour. But real quick, and I'll touch base on this again, but basically it was the Weinstein Company. Okay, Harvey Weinstein, we all know, has been accused numerous times of sexual misconduct and rape and sexual assault. And I mean, just you go on and on and on. Okay, and then according to the court reports, which were obtained by USA Today, they're the ones that kind of broke the story. There was a suit filed in federal Manhattan court by six women who alleged they were sexually harassed. But because the Weinstein Company, James Dolan, who is the New York Knicks owner, was the head of the Weinstein Company from about mid-2015 to June 2016 as a New York-based company. He was there. They claim that he knew of Weinstein's practice. They call it predatory sexual conduct towards women. And then Dolan got out. Lazary took over from about mid-2016 through October 2017, so about a year and a month or two, something like that. And they say he also knew of this, which is the reason those two guys are named in this lawsuit by these six women who claim they're doing this for all of the women that have accused Weinstein of this. We'll talk more about this coming up a little bit later in the program. Stick around. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.